Thank you for choosing to listen to this message. At Coastal, we believe in changing and enriching lives through the power of the Word. We pray that this sermon would be a blessing to you.
Yes. Everybody gets notes. Now, We don't always do this, okay, but we should finish all that's on the sheet you got, okay? We don't, but, I mean, there's no pressure, okay, but I just think, we got them coming. And we just should finish up Genesis tonight. Because we've been in the Joseph story, we really worked on that, that is really the end of the book of Genesis, is the Joseph story. But there are other things in there, and we'll tip our hat to them as we go by. Yeah, you know, I mean, the genealogies, and there may be one of the genealogies that we might need to just know that it's there, and in case we want it for a reference. Sometime or another, okay? Genesis is the beginning of everything. And if you remember when God started in chapter 1, when God started to create and he worked that whole day, remember what he said that evening? That's good. And he did that for 5 days, and then on the sixth day, he created humans, and he said, very good. Now, I want to tell you that that is a message that our youngsters need to hear. You will hear them treat human beings as if they've infested the earth and ought to be extinguished, and they see humans as the problem, and that is very twisted. And when I say the problem, I'm talking about the climate change or overpopulation. There's really not an overpopulation, and some of the best minds I read talk about it's. We're just about to go over the top, and it's going to settle down. I just want to point that out. That's another eerie thing I'll get. But that humans are very good, and you are the purpose and not an addition. Thank you. Just let me do it. Just one way this way, okay? To say, if there were no humans on planet Earth, do you think God would be worshipped? We don't know of another species that has consciousness to do that. I mean, we just don't know. Okay? You're it. You're the purpose. And, okay, so things are very good. And then when you get to chapter 2, things go downhill a bit. And then you have the fall stories. First one is Adam and Eve in the garden. And what do? They disobey God by eating the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And what did Adam discover immediately upon eating from the tree? Yeah, but the shame comes out of being naked. And if Adam has to know, if I realize I'm naked, everybody else has to realize that too. So not only is he vulnerable, but we're all vulnerable. Okay? Then we have a couple of other fall stories. The flood, Tower of Babel, and you get the idea that we're apt to make mistakes. Okay? All right. Except for Joseph. You don't know any mistakes that Joseph made, do you? He's probably the only character in all the Bible, other than Jesus Christ, that doesn't do that. About the worst thing you can blame him, Joseph, of is that he's naive, young. And so he blurts this stuff out, and he thinks everybody ought to think, oh, it's crazy. Okay. But they don't. Okay. They don't. All right. So we are in, chapter 45, verses 1 and verses 2. Joseph has gone to Egypt. He's a smashing success in Egypt. And he bounces to the, I call him the Super Bowl effect. The harder you throw him down, the higher he rises. And so he has come to power. He's been very successful. And now here comes the famine, and he's trying to get his family there. You remember? That's really what he's working on, is getting his, maybe not his family, his whole clan. To get his whole clan there, okay? That's what he's been working on. And he's been messing with them to get it done. So Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, have everyone leave my presence. That means all the Egyptians. So there was no one there, and when he made himself known to his brothers, and he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Okay? So what did you say? But there are cultures that do that. Their grief is... And so they do that. I don't know that for sure that's what he was doing, but that could have been. See, he couldn't hold himself back anymore, his emotions back anymore with his brothers. He'd been toying with them and playing games with them so that he could get what he wanted, which is good now, which means a whole plan to come down to Egypt. Okay. But he's got that. He just couldn't hold himself back anymore. But can you see what a difficult time they would have recognizing him? What's some of the problems with recognizing him? No beard, a lot older. And he's been using a different language with him too. But that's good. Yeah, he's like part of the court. Yeah, they would never expect him to be there, you know. Somebody else was back there saying something? Because, and by the way, that comes up in this section here, the drastic difference in the clothing that they wear, and so they just have a hard time recognizing them. Okay, go to the next one. Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still living? What's his first concern? Is my father still living? Why would you think that would be his first concern? Yeah. He is the, what do you call that? The star on his team anyway. Favored, yeah. He's the favorite. But this brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. You guys, I'm glad you get that. Yeah. This is pretty scary. And if, by the way, that scary comes up again too a little later in the story. So you can imagine what's going on with them. Boy, how things they were like the older brothers. They were like in charge last time they saw him. But now what? No, just as a man in charge, yeah. Yeah, Joseph is a man in charge there. Come close to me, then they had done so, he said, I am your brother Joseph, the one whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me there, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. And understanding, he's able to step back, look at things, and see God working. I mean, that's a wonderful, wonderful feeling to be able to do that. Most of us, we get so bound up in our little petty things that we can't see the larger picture. But I call these people big souls. And they're able to step back and see. We think that the activating event and goes to right away to the results of that event. That's what we normally think of. Nothing could be further from the truth. Because you don't go from the activating event to the effects of that. You know what's in between there? Our belief system. That's what's in between there. And our belief system usually has more to do with the results than the event itself. Okay? Go ahead. That is great observation. It's not wonderful for a weak person to not do anything to you. But a person who can and don't, that's a different story. And that's exactly where we find him here. Okay. But what does he believe about those events? He says it right there. What does he believe about those events? God was working. God's working. God's working in this. Amen. For 2 years now, there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will be no plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by great deliverance. So he knows he is there for a purpose. And what's his purpose now? To save his people. He's such a Christ character. Okay, you see it. He's such a Christ character. What's he supposed to do? He's supposed to save his whole clan. That's what his job is. And he understands what that job is. Okay? And by the way, how much more time do they have to go with this? Five more years. And so he's concerned that we better do something now because there's really no relief, at least in the near future, for this. Okay, we'll go to the next slide. So then, it was not you that sent me here, but God. He made me a father to Pharaoh, Lord of his entire household and ruler of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, this is what your son Joseph says. God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near to me, you and your children and grandchildren, your flocks and herds, and all you have. I will provide for you there, because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all who belong will be destitute. You can see for yourselves, and so can my brother Benjamin, that is really I who am speaking to you. Tell my father about all the honor accorded me in Egypt and about everything you've seen, and bring my Father, down here quickly. Wow. What's his first concern? Is my father alive? Second concern? Bring him here because there'll be safety. He can take care of them when he gets them into Egypt and the land of Goshen. Archaeologists and people who work at history use this passage to know that here the headquarters is still in the upper northern part of the Nile and hasn't moved to Thebes yet. And so because that the clan will be in Goshen, and that's where Joseph will be. Okay? All right. Go to the next one. Then he threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept. And Benjamin embraced him, weeping. And he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. Afterwards, his brothers talked with him. Now, why Benjamin? Who's got this in your head now? Why Benjamin? Why is he really interested in Benjamin? Mm-hmm. Full brother. Yeah, that's the way I would say it. Yeah. But natural meaning same mother, same father. Yeah. Because she only has two boys. Oh, I don't know. I'd have to go over the text again to see where he questions, is this all the brothers? I'm not sure. And if he knew then, which I don't know. Yeah. Somebody was saying something over here. Yeah. And the father loved him because he was from the woman his first love, put it that way, the woman he fell in love with. Okay, where'd I quit at here? what did Google say now?
That he was 5 years old.
When?
Benjamin was 5 years old when Joseph
sold his slave. Oh, okay. So we got a few years from that till this year. So. When the news reached Pharaoh's palace and Joseph's brothers come, Pharaoh and all his officials were pleased. Pharaoh said to Joseph, tell your brothers, do this. Load your animals and return to the land of Canaan and bring your father and your families back here. I will give you the best of land of Egypt and you can enjoy the fat of the land. You are also directed to tell them, do this, take some carts from Egypt for your children and your wives and get your father and come. Never mind about your belongings because the best of Egypt will be yours. That's very cool. And they're sending the Cadillac up there to get him, okay? Did you... In all this traveling, now, you know, there's been traveling going back and forth to Canaan, back and down. Okay, in all this traveling now, this is the first mention of the wheel. Yeah. That's a long trip with a donkey. That's cruel and unusual punishment. But now we got carts involved. And the commentaries that I've been reading would say this is probably pulled with an oxen, but I'm, you know, because I doubt if you can get a donkey to work that hard. So yeah, I don't think that's going to work. And I never heard anything about horses or mules at this point to use. All right, but we got carts involved, and think how necessary it is to get carts involved. What about the youngsters? Yeah. So you're going to have youngsters in this clan. Yeah. And Jacob, he's getting pretty old here. Yeah, he probably don't need to try to make this trip. Okay, this cart will come in handy for him. So we send up the carts to go get them. And one thing they don't need is don't bring your furniture. Don't bring your tents that you're not going to use along the way. Don't bring any of that stuff. Bring your animals. Yeah, everything else is right here. Okay, I don't know that they did it that way. How many of you have to move your stuff? Hey, have you ever noticed how many storage places there are? And can you imagine all the useless junk that's stored in those places? Yeah. It's okay. All right. So we go back and we visit a friend that we've known since this family is the only family really that survived my ministry at that church, okay? And she is 90 years old now. And we saw her. And guess what? We got stuff all through the house, all stacked up. Just a place for you to walk, and that's it. Yeah. And the kids know that they can't take it away from her. That's part of it. No. She wants to give you something, you know, but you can't do that. You know, she's 90 years old. All right. Okay. All right. We'll go to the next one. So the sons of Israel did this. Joseph gave them part as Pharaoh had commanded, and he also gave provisions for their journey to each of them. He gave clothing, but to Benjamin he gave 300 shekels of silver and 5 sets of clothes. 5 sets of clothes. That is expensive, okay? That is just... that's silver must have been chopped off a bar or something. I don't know, because this is before... There weren't coins. You know, there's no coins or anything like that. Okay? And this is what he sent to his father. 10 donkeys loaded with the best things of Egypt and 10 female donkeys loaded with grain, bread and other provisions for the journey. Then he sent his brothers away. As they were leaving, he said to them, "Don't quarrel on the way." Do you remember? It's been a while, okay, but they had that idiom where don't sit around the tent and just look at each other. Go do something. It wasn't just that way, but it was said something. Now this is what he tells them: don't quarrel along the way. Okay. Learn to work with each other. Yeah. I remember I was shipping horses from close to St. Louis to Toledo, Ohio. This is in the winter. And this is 0 degree weather. So I get a horse, I put a few horses on the trailer and I loaded this old class horse on there. And this other horse just kicked him. Got blood coming out. It's a nice old horse. Oh, God. I got so mad, and I didn't do anything, but I got mad at that horse. And I finally got them all on the trailer and closed the door and latched it. And I know I'm not going to open that until I get to Toledo. And I said to them horses, this is a thought that came to me. You know, you guys better learn to love each other. Because if you don't, this is going to be a long and arduous trip. And that's the same way for these guys here. You all learn to love each other because you got a mission to do, you got work to do, and you don't need to be sitting around quarreling with one another. You need to just get her done. That's what you need to do. Okay, let's go to the next one. So they went up out of Egypt and came to their father Jacob in the land of Canaan, and they told him, "Joseph is still alive." Wow. In fact, he is ruler of all Egypt. Now, that's a little much information to be getting all there in one wad, you know. So Jacob was stunned, and he did not believe them. But when they told him everything Joseph said to them, and when he saw the carts Joseph sent to carry him back, and the spirit of their father Jacob revived, and Israel said, I am convinced my son Joseph is still alive. I will go and see him before I die. That's great. So he's got him willing to leave. He's just Joseph's got everything going his direction here, and his father's on the way. All right? Okay.
Do you think that there would have been quarrelsome on the way back, so they realized that dad's going to find out the truth exactly what they did to
him? I'm glad you see that, because that whole deal, that whole deal about whether they're going to kill him is they think, the brothers think, is dependent upon Jacob live or dead. Yeah. And what happens when Jacob dies, somebody has to move in there. And yeah, this whole thing comes, you're exactly right. This whole thing comes up again within them by what's going on. Oh, yeah. Where are we now? Okay. Family reunion. How many of you go to family reunions? Think it'd be nice, huh? They're not always. That's why. So, but they're quite a mixture here. Israel set out with all that was his, and when he reached Beersheba, he offered sacrifice to God of his father Isaac, and God spoke to Israel in a vision at night and said, Jacob, Jacob, here I am, he replied. I am the God of your father. He said, do not be afraid and go down to Egypt, for I will make you into a great nation there. I will go down to Egypt with you, and I will surely bring you back again. And Joseph's own hand will close your eyes. What a wonderful message. But notice he stops at Beersheba to do the sacrifice. He's going to make sacrifices. And you remember he had that wrestling experience before? So here's a man who knows how to get in touch with God. And that's what he does here. He gets in touch with God. And he may have questions about what he's doing, and God will settle the questions here. I'm the God of your father, Isaac, and you're going to go down in Egypt, but I'm going, now not him necessarily personally, because he doesn't make it back. He dies there. But the clan, the race will be brought back to the land of Canaan. And that's God knows what he's doing. They needed to be in Egypt, and there they will grow like weeds. They will just grow. And this is a great experience for the Hebrew people all around. It gets sour, but that is life. Things usually have to get bad before we'll make a move. But that's enough of that. Joseph's own hand will close your eyes. Now you know what that means, don't you? Yeah, he dies. And so you don't leave his eyes open. Okay, very good. Let's go to the next slide. Then Jacob left Beersheba, and Israel's sons took their father Jacob and their children and their wives in the carts that Pharaoh had sent to transport them. So Jacob and all his offspring went to Egypt, taking with them their livestock, their possessions that they had acquired in Canaan. Jacob brought with him to Egypt his sons, grandsons, daughters, granddaughters, all his offspring. I'm sorry? Pharaoh's come. You don't have to bring your possessions. We got plenty of furniture here. in Egypt will take care of that. Yeah. It's hard to break these habits. It's hard to break these habits, yeah. 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 Okay. All those who went to Egypt with Jacob were those who were his direct descendants, not counting his sons and wives, numbered 66 persons. With the two sons who had been born to Joseph in Egypt, the members of the family which went to Egypt were 70 in all. Now Jacob sent Judah ahead of him to Joseph to get directions to Goshen when they arrived in all the region of Goshen. Okay. Does 70 ring a bell with you? 7 is the complete number. And so one of the things, this is complete. The whole band, the whole clan, the whole tribe, however, whatever word you use to describe them now, have made their journey. And how many? There's 70 of them. All told, there's 70 of them. Joseph had his chariot made ready. Now, they've got to be horses on a chariot, wouldn't you think? Sure. Okay, there's a mention of horses. And went to Goshen to meet his father Israel. As soon as Joseph appeared before him, he threw his arms around his father and wept for a long time. Now, oddly enough, it doesn't say that Jacob wept here, but I'm just sure he did. Yeah, I'm just sure he did. But it just doesn't mention that. Israel said to Joseph, "Now I am ready to die, since I have seen for myself that you are still alive." Yeah. Every once in a while I talk to somebody that they're just not ready to die. They still feel like they have something to do yet. And it's probably God called. I wouldn't know that. But what does he say? I'm ready to die. If anything happens between now and the time I die, it's just gravy. It's just gravy. Because this is it. This is the height of it. I've now completed my journey. I've come full circle. And I can now die. Okay, we read this, didn't we? Okay. There was no food, however, in the whole region because the famine was severe. Both Egypt and Canaan wasted away because of the famine. Joseph collected all the money that there was found in Egypt. This just smacks of the government sucking everything out. We're going to read on, okay? But it just, okay. Egypt and Canaan in the payment for grain they were buying and brought it to Pharaoh's palace. When the money of the people of Egypt and Canaan was gone, all of Egypt came to Joseph and said, "Give us food. Why should we die before your eyes? Our money is all gone." So now they don't have any money. Okay? So what do you go for? Go to the next one. "And bring your livestock." So now the money's all gone. Now he's going to suck up all the livestock. Of course, that livestock becomes Pharaoh's. That's what happens. "Since your money is gone," so they brought their livestock to Joseph and gave them food in exchange for their horses, their sheep, goats, cattle, and donkeys. I'm sorry? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Things getting scary here. All right. Go to the next slide now. "When the year was over, they came to him the following year and said, 'We cannot hide from our Lord the fact that since our money is gone, our livestock belongs to you. There is nothing left for our Lord except our bodies and our—'" What's next? Yeah. And the only thing that Joseph doesn't take there or should I say Pharaoh? The only thing Pharaoh doesn't take is the land of the priest. I don't know why. Buy us and our land in exchange for food, and we with our land will be in bondage to Pharaoh. Give us seed so that we may live and not die, and that the land may not become desolate. Okay? So you can see how things are really getting bad. Because year after year, the drought has come. The drought has come. Famine has come. Okay, we'll go to the next one. So Joseph brought all the land in Egypt for Pharaoh, and the Egyptians, one and all, sold their fields because the famine was so severe to them. The land became Pharaoh's, and Joseph reduced the people to servitude from one end of Egypt to the other. However, he did not buy the land of the priests because they received their regular allotment from Pharaoh and had food enough from the allotment Pharaoh gave them. That is why they did not sell their land. So somehow they're on government aid, and so they just do fine. Okay. So Joseph said to the people, "Now that all I have bought all your land today, Pharaoh, here is seed for you so you can plant the ground. But when the crop comes in, a fifth of it is Pharaoh's, and other four fifths you may keep as seed for the fields and food for yourselves and your household and your children. You have saved our lives," they said. "May we find favor in your eyes of our Lord. We will be in bondage to Pharaoh." Boy, that looks bad to me. That just looks bad to me. And so you've got to give a fifth, 20% is the taxes on that. You get to keep the rest of that to both plant and to eat from. Things got pretty dire. So Joseph established it as a law concerning land of Egypt, still enforced today, that a fifth of the produce belongs to Pharaoh. It was only the land of the priests that did not become Pharaoh's. That's really a sad token there. But it looks good for the Hebrew people. Looks like they keep their stock, and they're living in the most plush of all of Egypt is where they're living. Okay. Yep. And this is where, oh, here's it. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for the wrong we've done?" That is why that comes up that we talked about earlier. This whole issue comes up there. Okay? So they sent word to Joseph, said, "Your father left these instructions before he died. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and wrongs they have committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father." Then the message came to him. Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. "We are your slaves," they said. And so this is the complete now of them bowing down. You remember the dream? Okay, this is complete now. We're completed now with them bowing down before him. But you see how they told him. Now this is what Daddy said. Now all of a sudden they're concerned about what Daddy said. Now they weren't before. They wouldn't respect anything. They were just self-willed and went on about themselves. But now they're concerned. Why are they concerned? Well, they got skin in the game now. And the tables now have turned. Okay, is that it? No, we still got more. But Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. I am in the place of God. You intend to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done and saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you, your children. And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Now there, I don't know how he could be any nicer than that. Again, what does he understand? God is at work in this process. And that's one of the things Jews are really good about, is understanding God in history. And they really do understand that. I don't think we put as much emphasis on that today, the way we are in the modern world, but they understood God working in history, and even in a negative way toward them. And so this is a way for him to see that God is at work. And when is God working? All the time. Yeah. But Jesus says, I do those things I see the Father doing. What he did, he looked at God and then he mimicked God on earth. That's the kind of feeling that you get there. He just mimicked God on earth. So what you see Jesus doing is really what God is doing. That's what God's up to. Go ahead, John. That's a good understanding. And I see that going. Let's go back to Potiphar buying him. Okay, it doesn't seem like Joseph had a bitter time there at all, regardless, even with Potiphar's wife. He just doesn't like he didn't seem. But for most of us, what is our normal response when things go ugly and things go terribly wrong? What is our response? That's for certain. That's for certain. Yeah. But usually we think I'm guilty, because we usually have enough guilt to kill any mule at any time. And so it triggers our guilt. And we feel guilty. I've done something wrong. And that really does hinder us in dealing with things. Okay? I think that's it, isn't it? Okay. Go ahead. Yes.